This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Show me that list again.
Show me that list.
Don't pick that horror. Baby, here's a rom-com. Counting down 1, 2, 10. This list is ready to begin. As long as we've got some dick jokes, we've got the audience right in our hands. Paulie, you and me,
we gotta be
the luckiest dickheads. You know that we're assholes. As long as we keep on listing, we can take any topic comes our way. Asshole week to week,
suck my dick.
We got each other sharing the soundboard and balls.
Welcome to episode 339 of the Countdown Podcast with
Wayne and Paulie in the morning.
I'm Wayne.
And I'm Paul. And that was the community-inspired opener of the show after the Growing Pains-inspired opener of the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of homages going on here.
Yeah, because today's another TV episode.
TV!
If you haven't worked it out yet, and we're very pleased with this one. Now, David Powell said to us, patron extraordinaire, top-level patron of the show, said, why don't you do top 10 TV characters of all time?
Right.
That was madness, David. Absolute fucking madness.
Very broad.
How would you like to suck my balls?
But it was a great idea.
Yes.
Because then we went, well, let's not do all TV
characters. All TV characters.
Because I would have literally, not literally, figuratively had to scoop my brain out and then look at the contents.
Exactly. I would have just taken a huge dump. Same thing, really.
Yeah. Instead, we have limited it to one of three topics which will cover this span over the next couple of months.
Three? There might be many little subgenres, but at this stage.
Subgenre number one. Comedy series characters. Not just sitcoms.
Nope.
Because that's obviously a subset of comedy.
Anything you could call a straight comedy.
Yep.
Even the ones without laugh tracks.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
That's a comedy TV show. Top 10 characters.
Yep.
The peeps you like.
So, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit does count.
What? Suckerwit. What? Someone said to me the other night, hey, does Buffy.
Comedy. Yes. Comedy, Wayne. Comedy.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Ah, very meta.
Excellent.
Yes. Take it back!
No.
Actually, someone did say to me, did Buffy count?
No.
Characters? I said, no, because that it's a...
I think that's genre number two,
drama,
which is
sci-fi drama?
Slash fantasy TV
yes,
show.
Yes.
And then we could have drama as the third topic. I think.
Yeah, okay, that'll work.
So
yeah, that'll work.
Even going a little bit on the Emmys, which just has comedy or drama. That's all that they distinguish between.
Oh, okay, cool. Did you see the Emmys?
I watched a bit of it. Yes,
I
saw some results. May or may not have some relationship to
today's really? All right, we'll see
topic
how it
for moi.
Nice one.
But yeah, overall, it's quite surprising to see... The three shows that just totally dominated.
Sweep,
it.
Ted Lasso, fucking...
Crown. And whatever the other show is,
was
I can't think off the top of my head.
Queen's Gambit? No, that didn't... Yeah,
no, that won some things, but nothing.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool.
So anyway, yes, Emmys, they were good.
Yes, they were. Excellent review, Paul.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat fuck.
We're just winging it at this point of the show, everyone.
What an amazing show. Let's just get into it then with the segment that kicks off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap? Who wants a recap?
Let's recount the week, Paulie. What the hell happened?
Let's get off with Julio from the Contrarians podcast. Great show. Do check them out. Now, Julio said, somebody let Wayne know he's not the only one who forgets the plot of LA Confidential every time
yes!
he watches the movie.
Word. That's the shizzle. Oh, okay, so he does as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Good, because you know what? That movie, it doesn't... The things that they reveal to you, not obvious. It's while people hanging out a window screaming it out.
I laughed at you, but apparently Julio, who also voted for you this week, we'll come to that in a moment.
My man.
Agrees 100% entirely, so
word.
There you are. Never let it be said, I just read out the things that benefit me.
You do have to bust one every year
show.
Or so good one.
Now, get you up on the roof from the Retro Cinema podcast said, pass it on to Wayne. I met and had a few drinks with Greta Scacchi.
What? She's awesome. Damn.
Scotchy?
Yeah, Scotchy. Yep. Ha ha ha. Yep. Wow, that's huge.
Yep.
Big fan.
And if you would like to describe in intimate detail Gidget, you can hit up Wayne.
Yes.
What's your Twitter handle?
I'm presumed innocent.
Anyway, and also what Gidget did, which made me laugh a lot this week, she literally has a handwritten list with wonderful penmanship, I might add, of Wayne's list, Paul's list, and then going down with brackets the number of our films that we rated
oh, really?
Last week's show, top 10 LA set films.
Holy crap.
and then giving like two ticks, one tick, eh, or a cross.
Wow.
Based on her rationale.
Is that how she actually... Oh, wow. Everyone else just fills it up, but I like that you have a system.
So, yeah, there was a lot of ticks for you. There was a couple of crosses for me for face off and drive. A couple of ets for you. I was the only one who got three ticks for Die Hard, but you had more two ticks. So I don't know who won.
Okay. All right. But I like the system still.
I think that was very, very funny.
Very nice.
And speaking of then last week's result. Now, Wayne, you're on a bit of a tear, I have to say.
The hell you say?
Because this is the third in a row that you have won to bring it back to 15-14, 60% of the vote to you.
This is the audience wanting a closer race.
No, I think you did a stellar job last week. I think your LA list was very, very... And I made the decision to go with the best film set in LA, which was The Brief. Not the best LA films that LA as a character.
Also The Brief, you can argue, but go on.
Well, yeah, sure. and people responded to that. Yes, I think I mentioned 60% of vote, actually 59% of votes, 39 votes to you, mm-hmm. a paltry 40% or 27 to me. But still, you know, it wasn't an embarrassment, but well done.
Fine.
That's a very, very solid victory.
Thanks,
again.
Everyone.
Now, first of all, we had cousin number one, Ash. And he said, tough one this week. Wayne nailed The Brief more time, but Paul's list is darn good on paper. Good. Excellent.
Not sure who he went. Okay, good.
Cousin number two, Mike T, he went, I can't remember both lists. I think I'm mixing them up. So I'll just vote for Wayne to be safe.
What is it you said about someone? Are you just listing all the cousin votes? I only have... Look, I'm Asian. I have a lot of cousins. Yep. All right, some of them vote.
Paul? For me, Paul's, for you.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Well, Paul strong-arms his wife and brother into voting, so I think we're about even.
I have one wife and one brother. You have 73,000 cousins.
I have two cousins that listen, y'all. What's up?
Plenty of people vote for you that have said, ah, Wayne Vonnie Block, suck a dick, Paul.
That's because you made it up and they're just trying to fuck with you. They're going to vote for me anyway.
Some of the comments outside of Wayne's cousins, though, it was hard to sift through them
Many,
all.
Motherfucker, eat balls.
Smiley Smarty said, from what my befuddled brain remembers, I enjoy Wayne's list more than Paulie's, which could be why my brain is so befuddled.
See?
Choosing Wayne, sheesh, what's the world coming to?
Exactly. Even the white people vote for me sometimes.
Jeez. Troy Spinner, who does us a solid every week and writes the list out.
Peter Mann.
People can vote from the Comic Con Digital Podcast. Thank you so much. Troy said, as much as I love Die Hard, yes, I'm going with Wayne this week. His list definitely felt more LA, which is how I would have done it. The poor voting streak ends and I can look at myself in the mirror again. This is a man who votes for me and feels bad about it. Block.
And he's white.
Josh Ragland, wrap it up. Reservoir Dogs is plenty LA, Paul. Don't ever feel bad for including it. I feel like I say it every week, but both great lists. Paul's gets the edge slightly for Die Hard, T2, and This is the End. So
Paul
I did
voting
get
block.
A vote.
Okay, fantastic.
Paul's voting block. Thank you, Josh, for being the sole member.
Paul Knox!
Look, it's not funny when you try and poach the same joke, damn you.
Look, motherfucker, it's true, word. All right, bitch, anyway. Please.
All right, that is the recount this week. Wayne, now only one behind me, and we're in his wheelhouse. It's comedy.
So we say, but you know
these
often
favorite,
go.
The favorite for this week. So we 15 all after next week. Let's find out on the other
side. No, don't do that, motherfucker. I know what you're doing.
Comedy characters!
A lot of spin on that. Nice.
The subject of this week's count. all right, this is Wayne's wheelhouse, as noted. So I should lead
Bring
away.
It.
My number 10, here we are, going straight for the jugular, no messing around. It is Dr. Niles Crane from Frasier.
That's my number 10!
Oh, Jesus.
Word! Wow. I had no ideas what happened.
We'll all draw. Good Please. Luck voting for that, unless you're part of the Wayne voting block, i.e. cousins.
Suck a dick! Okay, so here's... All right, tell us about Niles from Frasier, David Hyde Pierce, played
yeah,
by.
I want to be upfront here. Mm. I've often said on the show, acting is my blind spot. I'm not very good with picking what's really, which is astounding acting.
Yeah.
I can pick really shit-ass acting, but I'm not good between that whole, yeah, it's solid to great.
Sure.
I think everybody on this list nails their characters so hard. It is
They wouldn't be on the list without it.
Exactly. So, and I should also add, I didn't go with my favorite, like, persons I want to have a drink with, right? I went with the best
characters. The best character.
They're probably not even my favorites, but they're just so good. They're so synonymous with the show.
You know what it is? It's high value.
Yeah.
When that person is good value, because all the time on their screen is like, holy shit, that was good, that's why they're good.
Yeah. And so
Niles is totally on the list.
So Fraser Crane's the biggest character in the show.
Totally.
He's come over from Cheers. He's absolutely done all that stuff. But I think Niles outdoes him. I think David Hyde Pierce's performance as Niles is so iconic, which is what worries me about the reboot that's coming. Because I haven't confirmed he's in it.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's going to be as good. I'll tell you something about, like, well, I'll be honest with you. Kelsey is on my list as well.
Oh, right? Damn.
But there's a little bit of something. There's a twist on it. You'll see. You'll see.
Okay.
But as far as Niles goes, all right, so he was picked because he looks like Kelsey Grammer initially.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he's got a similar
face. Do they really look that?
Their jaw and their nose and their mouth look the same.
Okay.
Have a good look at him. He's obviously heaps skinnier. But he actually develops into the most relatable character in Frasier, because the whole thing about Frasier is that it's like this sort of like up in the air, nosy. Like these are aristocrats, essentially. Yep. Right? And
they're very high class, white collar.
Right. And they're played like that. They're making jokes on that front. But then Niles is the guy who falls in love with Daphne, and then he's like the one who gets trod upon lots of times. And then you can relate to him more, because even though he's a wanker, he's a funny wanker.
Well, he's also highly, highly neurotic. He hasn't got his shit together like Frasier has.
This is true.
So he's got all manner of his hypochondriasis and however many other number of conditions. He's very, like, he can't touch anything without wiping his hands. He's
yes.
very fastidious. And
he's locked in a loveless marriage.
Yeah, he hates Maris, and Maris, although he doesn't admit it that way.
Yeah. It's seen that
he's pining for Daphne is initially kind of lust, and it's a bit weird because, well, you're married, mate. What are you doing?
Exactly.
But eventually it becomes, well, you're in a loveless marriage and you need to get out of it. And I can't even remember if Maris is the one that breaks it up. I think she might be.
She is the one that breaks it up.
And so now it's like he's carte blanche to go after Daphne, and he does. But she's not, because they're so from different worlds.
No, it takes forever. Then she's in there with that lawyer guy, and then he's missed his chance, and now he's back this, and pop, 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 pop.
In typical great sitcom history.
Absolutely, they draw it out.
Yeah.
But the thing I think about Miles most is that he has the best quotes in the show. I remember my favorite one of his is like, he's talking about this woman that he almost hooked up with, and he's like, her lips said no, but her eyes said, read my lips. That's good shit, man.
And again,
all stuff
the
like
acting,
that.
The delivery, the pause at the right
absolutely.
Moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he kills it like that. But I don't know. Niles has always been like the one. You're right. If this show comes back and there's no Niles,
it's gonna be I'm thinking shit uphill. Really,
absolutely.
Will.
It's like the redo of Murphy Brown. Boy, it sucked.
Did it really?
Right. It just didn't have any of the magic. And everyone's 89 years old. Just
and
you know.
Even Candace Bergen, even her, Wayne's not interested in.
Honestly, at some stage, even a brother got to say when. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong.
Fair enough. All right, that was my 10 and your 10. So back to me for number 9. Here's another controversially low one. I thought Niles might be higher on your list. This one could be.
Bring it.
And really, the only way to introduce him is to call him by the name that I can't remember if it's his PE teacher or whatever called him back in high school. Can't stand ya. George Costanza from Seinfeld. Obviously, Jason Alexander. You cannot look at Jason Alexander in anything else now and not think George.
Agree. He's not on my list.
Fair enough. That's fine.
But
that's fine.
I understand why. George Costanza, you know the thing about him is, right? He is a great character insofar as the complexity and what he brings to the show and that sort of thing. However, I can't stand him probably because...
you're not meant to.
No, you're not meant to, but the things about him that are funny are still... like, he's cheap, for example, like, and he's like weird about it. He'll run ahead of women when there's a burning building. Just get out. That is so funny, though. The fact that, fire, boom, and he knocks kids over.
Get out of there.
Hilarious.
When he basically kills his fiancée by by hiring the cheap fucking envelopes with the terrible glue.
She licks and dies.
The poison to death. And he's like, happens.
Exactly. He's just the worst prick ever. But the funny part about him is the thing, like, you know, he'll eat a Mars bar with a knife and fork. And what do you do? Because he saw some other guy do it. Or, you know, someone says, this bastard, that bastard. He's like, he's co-opting their fucking...
I'm down with that.
Exactly.
What about when he decides to be the anti-George?
Oh, yeah.
Opposite George, whatever they call
That's
it.
That's right. And he starts mouthing off to people or just talking to women.
He's in the movie theater and there's a whole bunch of these sort of gangbanger dudes. He stands up and he's just like, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
And if you want to try me, just go ahead because I would love it. Now, the most disgusting person in that show is definitely Newman.
Yeah, for
sure. I can't look at him. But George is close. I also dislike Kramer in a very similar way.
Lots of people love Kramer, had them on him on their list.
He was never going anywhere near this list. Not that I don't think he's amusing to watch.
Very well played, very well acted again.
Amazing, but he's a piece of shit. He steals everyone's food and he's just like a freeloader. So yeah, anyway, there's that. Good call, I understand.
Bitter guy, selfish, greedy, all the rest of it, but for whatever reason, hilariously entertaining to watch. And when George is both in the shit, what about when he worked for the New York Yankees and he's always gone up to report to whoever the owner of the Yankees was at that time? Very funny as well. Eventually gets to the point where he's just walking out of him while the dude's ranting.
Absolutely. And that's why it's good. No, George is good. George is great.
All right, that's my number 9. Over to you.
My number 9 is Winston Schmidt from New Girl. I know you don't watch New Girl Paul. This is played by a guy named Max Greenfield. And in terms of the character who is a douchebag, who is a plonker, but is somehow magnetically, like, just really great to watch, this guy is there. Anyone who sees New Girl, if you haven't seen New Girl, you're not into it. I understand. If you've seen New Girl, you understand that this show, this character, there's actually a device in the show called the douchebag jar.
Right.
Where, in, like a swear jar, as soon as you're a douche, you got to put $1 in there, right? He has to put heaps of money in there. And it's for doing shit like, for example, let's say you visited Florence in Italy, but you didn't say Florence. He said, I went to Firenze. That's douchebag shit, right? He'll do that shit. And they always call him out on it. Now, it's a toss-up between him and Nick, because Nick is also an amazingly good character.
What's the premise of the show?
New Girl, Zooey Deschanel, right? Yep. She moves in with these guys, right? And then the first season, it's just Nick and this guy. And then another, I can't remember the African American guy's name, but basically,
so
it's her
apartment-based comedy.
Apartment-based comedy.
Opposites attract.
Yes.
One of them's into her.
Yeah, she ends up with sort of Nick, but then for a while it's not that case, and he's into other girls. Like that. But the thing about this show that makes it different is, one, I'll tell you this, those episodes go down easy. You can nail 3 in a row. No problem, right? Two.
And how about the show?
The show itself. Can't believe I didn't see it. I don't know why. Yeah. What's wrong with me? But the actual show itself is rapid fire laughs. It's a bit like Community, actually, in how consistent.
You say this having not watched Community. I've seen repeated emphasis.
No, I've seen 7 episodes of the first season of Community, so I've seen it, and I am impressed.
It's more than I've seen New Girl,
for some reason, exactly. But it is actually consistently funny, and every little. It's not the type of comedy where someone sets up a line and then there's a payoff and then there's a laugh track. There's no laugh track here. It's just the way no laugh track. Okay. Every time someone does something, it's at the end. You
so
just
is
cut
it multi-camera?
Definitely multi-camera.
Oh, sorry, it's single camera. Single camera or multi-camera? So is it?
No, it's
it's like a sitcom but without an audience, or it's a single camera cutting around and camera moving and all the rest of the shit?
Well, now the standard sitcom is a 3-camera setup, I'm told. Is that right?
So it's multi-camera, right?
So multi-camera, yeah. So it's definitely, I don't know, single cam like the fucking, like the Office? Is it like that?
Yeah, Office doesn't have a studio audience.
No,
Office, yep.
But it's not that. It's not a documentary style.
But let's say something like, say, Scrubs is a single cam comedy show.
Okay, then it's definitely single cam.
Okay.
Yeah. Shit, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. But it's not like Friends.
Or it's just edited around. That's the point.
Whereas it's that. It's edited around.
In a multi-cam live studio, Friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, so what you mean. They're just sitting there swapping between cameras and Friends. But this would be single cam then. So there you go. But yes, Schmidt from New Girl is my number 9. He's the shit.
Nice. And does he do a lot of practical jokes? Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, it's quite.
Character?
Well, it's more that shit happens to him, but it's just a ridiculous character who does everything. He's funny. He's actually just generally funny, just the way he moves and talks.
I would assume so. All the characters here are funny, even if they are assholes. My number 8 falls right into that category. It's Ari Gold from Entourage, played by Jeremy Piven, who is fucking amazing.
Is that not
role.
A drama, though?
It's a comedy.
Come on!
It's a comedy.
I think Entourage is a drama.
I looked up comedy characters, comedy.
No, you can definitely make that argument.
I think you can make the argument either way.
But I'm fine with this. Ari Gold is gold, so to speak.
No pun intended.
No, I love Ari Gold. He's the best character in Entourage. No question.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. But he's comedic, maybe in the drama show. Yeah, but still.
That's fine.
And
that's
I saw lots of lists. So that's
Ari Gold is fantastic, man. Like, I think, in fact, that whole show revolves around him, not Vince, if you ask me.
Well, Vince is the central character, but certainly not the most.
It's nothing without Eric.
He's the least entertaining character. Eric's not very entertaining either. He's very straight.
Eric's the worst character in that show is Turtle. I fucking hate him. I've always hated him.
Turtle's got character. Turtle's got whatever. Yeah, like he's very different. Whatever. Obviously, Johnny Drama's hilarious.
Johnny Drama's hilarious. Yeah. They're all good.
Most of the laughs come from Drama or Gold.
True.
And Ari apparently is based off a real time Hollywood agent named Ari Emanuel.
Yes.
Who broke away from a particular agency a la Jerry Maguire.
Yep,
he created his own thing, and that's how Mark Wahlberg,
he's
and
well known,
Vin Diesel and Larry David are all client, well, were clients of his.
Yeah.
So
apparently he's the multitasker from hell. He's a man who can still do two things at once.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he does yoga and reads a book at the same time.
What the fuck?
So that's what I know about Ari Emanuel. But yes, this character is great on that. And in fact, they send up Harvey Weinstein in this show. They cover a guy called Harvey who's a fat fuck who yells. This is before he was a rapist.
Right, before he was awful.
Yes. Or known to be a rapist. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah.
But I just think he's such a, and like a lot of characters on my list, he's so complex. Like, he's such a prick to Lloyd. He's such a prick to his employees, right?
Yeah. He's a prick in general, just to everyone who can't help him.
Except he's a really good family man, like, and he makes a point of, and through the whole show, never cheats on his wife. And, you know, obviously it's Hollywood and it's, you know, he's a high profile, powerful guy. He could bang any number of people, and he doesn't because he loves his wife and he's prepared to make sure.
That's true. He doesn't bang anyone. Although in the first episode, he goes, guess who I'm banging? And then Eric goes, Mrs. Ari?
And they dropped that really fast.
They did drop it really fast because it makes it more interesting to actually be, that's really cool.
And then later on, when they split, he and his wife split, he ends up banging the chick from Warner Brothers or whatever.
Which is completely Dana. That's right. Yeah. So his wife is often.
While they were together, he's faithful. And of course, they end up back together, which is nice.
But even his, like, when he curses in front of his kids, he's like, these fucking assholes. Only daddy talks like that. Yeah. That's funny shit.
But I just also love, like, he's shown to be more than just interested in Vincent because Vincent's going to make him money. Like, he genuinely cares.
No, he cares. He's like his crew. Surrogate son, kind of.
Yeah.
Almost.
Little, and that's what I really like about that level of sort of, on the wrong day, he's the complete asshole boss from hell. On the right day, he's a genuinely caring, good bloke who will help you out.
Well, remember when he sent Lloyd to go sleep with this writer dude he was trying to sign, right? And then he's like,
"That's not funny."
No, it's not funny.
Guys,
but he's like, "Yeah, well, what's the?" And then he actually had like I sold my soul today, baby. He's talking to his wife. He said, "You know what? Fuck it." And he went from there
to stop it happening.
And I thought, see, that's the kind of shit you want to write about. But yeah, great character. Definitely the best thing about the show. No doubt.
I agree. All right, go.
My number eight is Moss from the IT Crowd. His name is Maurice Moss. Moss.
Might not be the last time we hear about the IT Crowd.
Really? Well, I know you're not talking about Jen, so we're pretty sure
what... How dare you? Jen's funny too. Just not as funny as Moss.
She's fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, is Moss on your list?
Nope.
No. Okay.
No Moss.
No Ross. No Moss. All right. Well,
no mold here.
If anyone's unfamiliar with the IT Crowd, it's a British show, and it's about the IT division of a company which has... Oh, wait. Of course. I know who your other guy is. Fuck. Okay, he could have been here as well. But Moss is the guy that I thought of and liked immediately, simply because he's played by Richard Ayoade, who is, in fact, a well-known director these days. He had Khan movies and shit like that. But
Khan!
Star Trek reference for anyone who's not in there. Yes, he has a big, huge fro, and he has glasses, and he's a quintessential nerd that talks like this, right? And he is the complete opposite of everyone else in the show in that he is a computer genius nerd who works down here. And it's just, I think probably, there's a particular episode of the IT Crowd called The Work Outing. If you see one episode of this show, look that up and find it. It is about them going to some musical and it's called
Very good
Gay
show.
The Musical. Yeah. But he's actually just pure class and his social awkwardness is probably where all of the humor comes from, which means that I can relate.
Off, you're not socially awkward.
Am I not?
You just go over the top sometimes.
Yeah, that's what it is. At work, I get a lot of fucking crickets when I make some big ass joke and I'm like, that killed. And then there's some nerds who don't laugh because they're idiots. So stuff like that happens.
That's not fair to say. Like, you're like Teflon. You can just wait for it. I've made this joke before. You can make ridiculous statements that anyone else would get slapped for, slash, like, I'm not talking that prick ever again. And ladies are just like, oh, he's so cute.
I gotta say, at this current workplace, it's less so that way. They're all very good people, very noble people. No, just nerds. They're nerdier people than I'm used to. I hope no one from work listens to this show. If you are, you're one of the few people who I don't consider a nerd.
Well, or you're the desirable nerd.
Exactly.
Wait, maybe not in that way. Sorry.
People who get me, get me. Met you. Right? People get
it's
me.
It's all Wayne's fault, not mine.
Anyway, Moss from What It's Worth.
From the IT Crowd. My number seven is the most recent one on my list. And it comes from a show which I'm only halfway through the second season of, and that's how good he is and how much of an impression he's made. Huh? It's fucking Roy Kent.
Roy Kent from Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
A lot of people love this guy.
Arguably, almost every character in the show is so well written and so well rounded. They're all fantastic. But for me, Roy Kent's the standout, as played by Brett Goldstein, who's a comedian and a bit of an actor.
Never heard of this guy before.
I hadn't either. obviously now he's blown up and whatever. And he won Best Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series at the Emmys. Did you hear his speech?
No. Was it like that?
Well, his speech, he gets... I actually wrote a couple of quotes down here.
Bring it.
It went like this.
Go on.
I've been specifically told I'm not allowed to swear, so this speech is going to be fucking short.
So you did it in character.
I think that's the way he speaks.
Is it?
I think so.
Is he actually a grumpy cunt? And then,
well, he's putting slightly more gruffness on, or graveliness on his voice. And then he thanks everybody, Jason Sudeikis, all the people, you know, Bill Lawrence, all the rest of it. Mm. And at the end, he's like, "It's been a privilege to be on the show." And then he grabs the Emmy and he holds it up. Is it is the fucking icing on the cake? Oh shit! I'm so sorry. Please invite me back.
That's good work. So he's a producer, did you say, or writer?
He's a producer and he's a co-writer. And what happened was he was writing Breaking the Show in the season one. And when they wrote the whole first season, then he went, I think I could be Roy Kent. And he sent in an audition tape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of himself doing lines from
Roy Kent. Wouldn't he be the guy who picked it up as a producer?
He didn't write just that. Yeah. But basically, they went, yep, you nail it. This, the veteran soccer player who was outstanding and won a championship with Chelsea and now is at this Richmond, this fictional club, but... Mm. He's a veteran. He's the captain of the team.
He's not as good
as he used to be.
Yeah.
All the other players, not all, the most of them are better than he is. Mm. He's got to go out. And he talked about he's got a lot of friends who are ex-Premier League players and the transition they went through when they had to retire. And so he channeled a lot of that and how difficult it is.
That's kind of good.
And then now in the second season, he's a coach like an under-9s team.
Yeah.
And the way he coaches them is just too like...
fucking go. Fucking get out there.
Very funny. And I love the relationship he's got with Keeley in the show as well. He just brings his heart and this whatever.
Which is hard to do being a grumpy prick, right?
But you like him.
Yes, you do.
He's found that great niche, which is honest and direct and hurtful in some ways, but still likable.
But you know what? In particular, in that second season where he's on the panel of presenting a TV show.
Sky Sports, whatever.
He's like, what do you say there, Roy? I think you're a shit coach. About the game, you twat. And he was like, Jesus Christ. That's actually quite good because everyone wants to hear that shit.
Yeah, very good. So I love Roy Kent. And he could go way higher on this list by the time the show ends. But right now, this is as high as I could put him.
Very muff. All right. My number 7 is Carlton Banks from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, wow.
Okay, everyone. Now, I don't know who you've been if you don't know the Carlton dance, but you should definitely look it up. That Tom Jones, it's not unusual. It's always to that song, okay? And so
stop trying to win votes by singing.
I was just saying, this is Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, of course, the Will Smith show. It's back in the 80s. There's a lot of Bill Biv DeVoe on the show and stuff like that you wouldn't care about these days if you were a youngster. However.
Or care about then.
Yes. Well, hey, you love Bill Biv DeVoe because of Scrubs, so kiss my ass.
The Turkleton dance.
Poison, that's right, baby. What's up? So Carlton is actually kind of the heart and soul of Fresh Prince. Now, it's played like Carlton is the preppy and Will Smith is the dude with the Air Jordan 5s and he's cool and what's up and jazzy and whatever, right? So,
jazzy.
Well, Jeff is jazzy. But who's also on the show playing the drums a lot. But even though Carlton is frequently the subject of Will's ridicule, it's simply that he's piss funny and flamboyant, but while still being a preppy. There is one episode of Fresh Prince where they fool Carlton into thinking that he had something to do in, you know, a girl's murder. And he goes, oh my God, oh my God. And you look at... Look it up on YouTube, shitty sound man, he actually runs around the whole set. Going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He even does this thing where he crawls on the floor and drags his butt like a dog. And it's really, really good.
Funny?
Because he actually runs around the set and into the audience. And people didn't expect, obviously, they didn't actually, this
high
was scripted.
Energy is what you're saying.
High energy, but he actually ran into the audience and people were like, ah! Then he ran back down into the set and all to the different sets and came back. And then everyone
at that point.
Look, motherfucker, if you watch the scene, you'll get it. You love ass.
60% of the time,
you love ass in your face, motherfucker. I hate your shitty sounds. But I do love Carlton. So word to Big Bird, everyone.
Right. I haven't seen much of Fresh Prince.
I know. We came from different times back then, Paul.
Fair enough. What I have seen a lot of is every episode, bar 5,
of
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What a shock this turns up. And I'm just going to guess who you fucking had
don't
here.
Guess, because you might guess wrong.
Go ahead.
My number 6 is Jake Peralta.
Oh, shit, I did
Andy Samberg. Or if you prefer, Jake Jeffrey Peralta. the cocky but immature NYPD detective who is stationed in the 99. And once Captain Holt comes on and starts to try and shape him up to be a better detective and no more shenanigans from him.
Mm.
And this is the guy, like, think of any kind of sitcom, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy who is so likable despite his flaws.
Yeah. The loose cannon, the irreverent one.
Yeah, irreverent's right. He's not a loose cannon. He's very respectful of his fellow officers. He's not going to put anyone else in danger, but he just wants to have a joke and have a laugh and just doesn't take things seriously. Mm. So I can't think of a comparable character from another show because it's a cop show.
Yeah.
And of course, cop shows are traditionally dramas, not comedies.
What can I ask you? Because I remember the last or latest season of this show, they rethought it or something after all of that police stuff that happened That's in
right.
the States.
So after the whole George Floyd thing, they had written, if not even filmed, some of the final
That's what I heard.
Season. And then went back, scrapped it all, started again. And I'm halfway through the final season, 5 episodes to go.
How is it?
Look, it's fine. It's only 10 episodes of last season. It's probably not.
Why would they have to rewrite stuff though? Like what were they dealing with in those episodes?
I don't know what the usual scripts were, interested. But in this one, in the first episode, they deliberately bring attention to the topics at hand, the issues at hand.
Oh, they do.
Police force, captain's covering it up, all that kind of shit. So they just call it out straight away.
Really?
And Jake is the moral center at this.
Is that fertile comedic ground? I ask you.
Well, it's more serious than a typical episode, but they had to do it. Like, how do you get around this? You just. Hey, keep laughing at cops being funny.
That's where I would have gone. I would have gone, fuck you little Nancys who get triggered by dumb shit. And here's our show.
You're fat, floppy, stupid, idiot.
That's why neither you nor me run a TV show.
Well, you could run one.
Anyway, he's great because he's so competent, yet he's so willing to have a laugh and jeopardize things for that laugh. Mm. And he's idolized by his mate in the show. And eventually, obviously, gets Amy Santiago to kind of fall for him, and that's all nice, and they play that out. You know, I think I see this more and more these days. It's not this will they, won't they vibe in sitcoms throughout the whole course of them.
Is that over now?
Yeah, I think it's more like, let's just have them get together and be a consistent couple.
Yeah.
Seems to be the way things play now.
That probably...
I think Scrubs broke that mold with Turkleton and Carla.
See, I would have thought that Cheers did. But maybe not.
No, when did Cheers have a consistently together couple?
Not consistently,
that's
no.
That's our point. That they,
but they got
together
and then stayed. Oh, that's what you mean. Yeah. Oh, yeah, back and forth. Yeah, you're right.
Not to say there's not drama between them, or even The Office did that with Jim and Pam.
That's what I was thinking as well, yeah.
But again, Scrubs.
Preceded? I want to say it did, yeah. Okay. Nice one.
So, yeah, and the other thing to emphasize about Jake is, loves Die Hard.
Really?
At every opportunity tries to make whatever's happening, oh, this is like that scene from Die Hard, we could do this. And eventually there's an episode where he gets to make everything be like Die Hard.
You know, funny you should mention this show, because there's a friend of mine, her name is Belinda, you've met her.
Yep.
She's very discerning in her watching habits, and yet she has uncharacteristically cottoned onto this show and now watches it like as in every episode, every season in turn. And I'm like, damn. So this probably has something. I haven't gotten as into it as everyone else is. I do enjoy this show, but I do enjoy a few more before it. So that's how it works.
And as a final summary, Terry Jeffins, Terry Crews in Terry the show, says, Jacob Peralta is my best detective. He likes putting away bad guys and solving puzzles. The only puzzle he hasn't solved is how to grow up.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Depth to this character. And Andy Samberg is great.
All right. Fair enough. Speaking of depth to characters, I have as my number 6, Selina Meyer from Veep, played by Elaine.
Yeah, never seen it.
I know. Now, this is a great wrong, I think. Although, having said that, now that I've built it up so much, there's no way Paul could like this. But for everyone else, the Veep show is, I think, at its time, definitely the funniest show on TV when it was going up against everything that it went on. I still think it has merit. I watch this. It's half an hour episode, so you can just go down easy, all right? But they are great. Julia Louis-Dreyfus is, in fact, a horrible piece of shit of a person. She is vice president, and she's trying to become president, and she does so during, at some stage, the show. However, it is consistently crapping on her, but she battens down everyone in her way and does the most horrible things. And in fact, spoilers, at the end of the episode, they fast forward to her funeral and all the people who came around saying, this person died as a result of her, and yada yada. It's all that sort of stuff. And now this is a very ensemble-y cast, despite having this clear star. There's Jonah, the dude who everyone hates and shits on. If he's actually great, but he's not, he's good because you're shitting on him. Everyone else in the cast is really, really tight, and every one of her lines is piss funny worthy. Because it's just, I don't know, it's one of the rudest shows in terms of its comedy.
Okay.
But really, really
great.
You've
said that repeatedly.
Yeah. So, you got to check out Veep, people. And Elaine is great in it. So,
nice.
There you go.
Nice choice. All right. Well, my number 5, which I really struggle with to place this particular character, right? It was at 10 initially, got to open my list. And then he was like at 3 and eventually settled here at number 5. And
okay.
I think the best way to introduce him is with a song.
Uh-oh.
If you're in trouble, he will save the day. He's brave and he's fearless.
Is the, oh wait, is this Arnold Rimmer? Okay, turn it off, it's horrendous. It is horrendous.
He's Arnold Rimmer.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
So much slimmer.
Wow, that sound made me not like him. You're talking, of course, of Arnold Rimmer of Red Dwarf.
Arnold J. Rimmer from Red Dwarf.
Best. Because this guy's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, look.
But best as a result of you making him making you laugh, no
well,
doubt.
Like, in that show, who's the most memorable character? Who's the one that stands out head and shoulders above everybody else? Even though they're all good characters because it's
yeah,
such
it's a tough
ensemble.
One. It's a tough one. Probably
this
you do
my
Rimmer.
Favorite.
He makes you laugh the
he's
most.
He's the nice guy, like, or the most reasonable guy in the show. Crichton's funny too, don't get me wrong.
No, Crichton's the most reasonable, but Arnold Rimmer's the biggest wanker.
Yes. And therefore the funniest
yeah,
in the
no,
show.
I'm on board. I'm
not
on board.
Not that it's the funniest show, but funniest countdown, but it is the best
yeah.
TV comedy characters.
Out of interest, who's after him? Is it Cat or is it Lister? Or is it Crichton?
Tough one, right?
Too so, hard, okay.
too hard. I would change from day to day. The fact he's brought back, he dies in this cataclysm which destroys the Red Dwarf. Mostly his fault, basically. He's in Lister's fault, but he's in essentially. And he's brought back as the most likely person to keep Lister sane as his hologram. Eventually gets to be a hard light hologram. He can interact with things and whatever else. And then he has this alter ego, Ace Rimmer. So we get to see Chris Barry, the person who plays him, actually get to act because he can play heroic and ridiculous.
Smoker Kipper for me. I'll be home
I'll
before.
I'll be back for breakfast. Yeah. Versus the sniveling coward that Arnold Rimmer is. I know that he had the Judas Empire, Chris Barry, and that's a very popular show as well. But
the British Empire?
Oh, sorry, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Why did I say Judas? British, you're right. Yeah. British Empire. My apologies. But this, you can't watch this. Again, watch this guy. He's just Rimmer. He
absolutely.
Will always be Rimmer.
Typecast for life. I think the fact that he's, I mentioned this before, but after his bar fight scene and he hides under the table and then everyone gets out, it's all finished. Thank you for your support, gentlemen. Good one.
Or another one, which is Crichton saying to him, with respect, sir, you think that Jesus was a hippie? Well, he was. He had long hair, didn't have a job. What more do you want?
It's good writing this show. What happened? Was it that
the two of them split? So Rob Grant and Doug Naylor.
Yeah.
They whatever. It's never been revealed. Never heard anybody, neither of them included.
Yeah.
Speak to what happened to the show after season 6. I think it was.
Yeah.
They went their separate ways. One of them bought out the other. I think it was Rob Grant bought out Doug Naylor. Mm. Doug Naylor may have continued doing books in the alternate universe.
Yeah.
And they just. Whatever, fallout must have been cataclysmic.
Scares the shit out of me that can happen, creative fallouts. Yeah. One must have banged the other's wife. It's the only thing that can really make them go that far. Really? I mean,
maybe.
Shit.
Maybe.
I mean,
but even the actors don't talk about it, so.
You know what's funny? A few years ago, maybe a lot of years ago, there was a movie made, which was like the last Red Dwarf movie, after all the various seasons and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I got to check that out. And I go and I look at it and I'm like, I'm not excited about this at all. And I can't imagine why, because I adored Red Dwarf the first few seasons. Then it got a bit expensive and less good. And then this show came and I'm like, I just don't care. So just the magic had gone.
And there's been two more seasons, at least, if not three more seasons. And even I haven't watched the latest season.
Yeah, see? So that's
it's just not
total shark jumping. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it started in the late 80s or early 90s. Late 80s. And it's gone all the way through to now. It's hard to maintain
something
the magic,
about it.
Right?
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say, Arnold, this is where Judas from. Arnold Judas Rimmer is his full name. A BSC,
Judas is his name.
SSC, Bronze Swimming Certificate, Silver Swimming Certificate. As great a joke as you get from his character. So there
fantastic. Judas. Who names the kid Judas? Okay. My number 6, I'm sure, is on your list, Paul.
Number 6? Your number 5?
No, it's number 6.
Wait, have I skipped one?
No, you just went 5 and I went, shit on me, you're right.
Yes! Can count.
Ooh, this is a problem.
Uh-oh. Have you got like 11 on your list?
Yeah. Don't worry,
Well, maybe I'll get a vote or three just because.
No, this is fine. This is fine. I'm just going to drop one off. It's all good. Okay, my number 5, everyone, is.
It's not the person you said before.
No, it is. It is. It's this one. It's Turk from Scrubs.
Not on my list.
What?
Because it had to be a duo. It's JD and Turk.
No, Turk is good on his own.
Turk's great. JD's great on their own. Both are great on their own, but I just.
You think they're funnier in together?
Yeah.
Well, that's arguably true. But the thing, the reason I like Turk from Scrubs, played by Donald Faison, by the way, he appeared in every episode of the season except 3 season 8 episodes. I find the character to be cool, amusing, and of course...
Season 8, the piece of shit fucking Scrubs med school one?
I think it is. Only you could tell me that, but I imagine it is. In my opinion, Turk was always the unsung hero of this show, because in the earlier episodes, it's clear that he's cocky and brash, but still very funny, and he was even trying... You know, Carla refused to date him because of his certain god complex, and his pursuit of her shows this, but the character's journey is probably one of the real pleasures in the show. A lot of people who like Turk, like females that tell me this, say that the reason they like him is... the relationship he has with his wife, girlfriend, Carla, okay? He's always a man's man in the sense that he loves sport and hip-hop and airbanding and shit, and he can and dance.
Airbanding?
Airbanding, you know that dance scene with him with the Bell Biv DeVoe?
I'm not sure that's what makes a real man.
I think you're right. I think it might be that he can dance, which is
Absolutely can dance. You know, in fact, Fortnite ripped off his fucking dance.
That is what I wanted to ask you about. And he actually, one of his quotes is, if you haven't had sex in months, you're not accountable for who you sleep with. I thought that was quite funny. But yes, it's the, you know, and he, remember that one scene where he was doing an arm wrestle with Carla and he shuts her down and he goes, "Do you see what you get, Carla? Do you see what you get when you mess with the warrior?" And that's his wife. So I thought it was quite funny. But like, I think that the quintessential scene is that air band scene where he dances. You know, I think with the Bell Biv DeVoe, that shit is just classy.
Oh, there's so many Turkleton scenes which are wonderful.
Yeah, right?
Across his relationship with Cox and the competitiveness against Carla. His friendship with JD, just that. But for me, it's their back and forth. There's a moment in whatever season it is where Turk's in bed with Carla, and they've got two-way radios.
Two-way radios on their wrist, man. It's watch radios.
Oh, they're watch radios. Yeah. And JD's like, "Yo, Turk, whatever." It's like, "Dude, I'm in bed with my wife," and she's looking at me like really angrily, and JD goes, "Tell her I've known her longer than you."
Yeah, no, because their deal was that they told each other every time they had sex.
Oh, yeah.
And here's
that is fucking pathetic.
I'm sorry. It was an insight here for you. I know what you're referring to, Paul. Insight for me and Paul.
There was a time,
I don't want to say if it's still happening or not still happening, that we did that.
happening.
Each time one of us had sex, there would be a text to Paul.
I knew the new person.
Yeah, only with a new person, yeah. But, you know, it would be funny if every single
time. There's been a drought of several months now. I must say, my phone doesn't blow up the way it used to.
Oh, we're in trouble. I'm in trouble.
I know.
Well, it's just a stupid thing us boys do.
You're now a taken man.
We're stupid ass boys. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wayne hasn't got a text from me in fucking 10 years, 11 years, whatever it is.
But I always know. So, yeah, that's my number 5. Turk from Scrubs.
Yeah, it's a great choice. I'm never going to be down on a Scrubs choice. That's fantastic. My number 4 is here. Here is where we I think, establish the funniest and most memorable character from the show.
Okay.
And there's only one way to introduce it to you, Wayne.
Bring it.
And it is with this quote.
Uh-oh.
Father! Douglas!
Okay. To be fair, this is an oversight by me for putting Moss on. This guy is definitely funnier than Moss.
Douglas Renham, aka Matt Berry.
Matt Berry.
In the IT crowd. And that was his introduction to the show.
Father!
At his father's funeral.
Everything Matt Berry says in any role is hilarious if he uses that voice.
He's a fucking comedy genius.
He is a comedy genius.
I think probably if we did top 10 comedy actors in TV shows, Matt Berry wins.
I think
hands
so.
Fucking down, right?
Probably because he was in a meeting with Jen, right? And she's got a laptop. It's like, "Jen, put away that laptop. How do we know that laptop can't somehow connect to the internet?"
So he takes over the company in the IT crowd, Renham Industries, and he's just prone to taking advantage of his power by trying to bang any woman that he finds remotely attractive. In 2010, he was criticized for his views on women in a feminist committee and was awarded the Shithead of the Year award, which
thought
was the ice cream dude.
Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
The woman's in the office with him and says, "You have been offensive on this way, this way, this way, and this way." He goes, "Now hang on here, sugar tits."
It up with Jen. There was Jen? A Jen scene. Yeah, Jen basically says to him, "Do I need to remind you of the report that announces Renham Industries as an institutionally sexist organization?" And he goes, "Now hang on a minute, sugar tits."
That's right. I so pissed myself with that.
It's hilarious that is the quote I picked out to summarize him as well.
Oh, totally. And there's one time where he's on the phone, he's in his apartment. He's on the phone. He's like, "Yeah, so why don't you come over, baby, and we can get naked?" It's like, "Oh, sorry, this guy's coming over. Anyway, I'll have chicken wings. He's ordering food and trying to fuck me. This is some nasty shit. Hilarious stuff.
Very funny. That's why I got so high on my list, because it just was Watching the 10-minute best of him this morning as I reordered my list.
You know what? Like, he is so good. There's one thing where he finds a gun in his drawer.
Yes.
I wonder if it's loaded, and he puts it in his mouth and starts pointing the trigger. Click, 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 click. What the fuck?
That's not funny, I understand, but it is funny.
It's funny because of the way it's played. Right?
He shoots himself in the leg.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to pretend like nothing happened. Very, very funny. And then, yeah, hilarious from every scene he's in. And he's in What We Do in the Shadows now, and he plays one of the vampires in that TV show. Still very, very good. Because every so often he goes into Renner mode.
Totally.
What the hell are you talking about?
Toast of London, have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
Is that... But he's not bad. Look, and I think he's as good as him in the IT Crowd. Yeah. I remember one that he's with that girl, and she's like, I thought you'd freak out when I told you I was a man, right? He goes, oh, God! I thought you said you were from Iran! it's class. You're right. Oversight by me. You win this list.
Great
no,
show.
No, straight up. Straight
oh, well,
up.
No, because no one's seen this show except us. So.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, worth a look, everyone.
Proud of that one. Number four, Douglas Renham.
Douglas Renham, nice one. My number four is also a besuited man who works in an organization. It is Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock, which I know you haven't seen.
Right, yes.
Played by my man, Alec Baldwin. Now, if you've seen 30 Rock, you get it. If you don't, you haven't. That's just how it's going to be. But I'll give you he's the CEO of NBC in this show, and obviously he plays with Liz Lemon, plays across from her, and those two are actually almost a comedy duo as well.
Tina Fey, yep.
Yeah, Tina Fey.
Yep.
But of course, Jack Donaghy, I'll give you some of his lines. Like, she'll say, Jack, why are you wearing a tux? He was like, it's after six, Lemon. What am I, a farmer? That's class. He said, your hair is like a suit for your head. Obviously, it doesn't surprise me. He's just talking about And Liz Lemon once said, hey, Jack, do you treat me any differently because I'm a woman? He's like, well, I pay you a little less. Yes. Oh, and then Tracy Morgan said, Jack, you like Phil Collins? He's like, I've got two ears and a heart, don't I? That's class! If you like Phil Collins, that's class. Trust me, motherfucker.
Yeah, I think you lost me at Tracy Morgan.
Eat my titties.
Again.
Anyway. Oh, he did say this as well. 50 is the new 40 for men. 50 is still 60 for women. Isn't that harsh? That's the kind of asshole he is.
That's funny.
So there you are. Jack Donaghy, 30 Rock, my number four.
All right, my number three. I'm going to steal some thunder here when I feel like. I'm sorry.
Bring it on, bro. Bring it on.
I'm guessing this is your number one. I could be wrong. How I Met Your Mother's Barney Stinson.
He's actually my number three, so let's just talk about him.
Oh, I'm shocked. Wow, that's amazing. Two in the exact same spot. That doesn't happen very often. Now, Barney Stinson, born 1976. Obviously, one of the main characters in How I Met Your Mother. And he gets himself as part of the gang, ingratiates himself, and then just fancies himself, although it's never confirmed, and of course it's not the case, that he's Ted's best friend. Which is right. An element of his character which is sort of secondary, but I love a lot.
Like, that's right.
Marshall's clearly Ted's best friend.
Yeah.
No problem at all, except Barney will not
insist upon it. Exactly.
Right. And he had an absent father, and he got screwed over by a chick who was into someone who was a businessman
in his
20s.
That's
so
right.
He decides he's going to reinvent himself to be the ultimate suit.
That's right. And he was a hippie. Which is why it's funny.
Right. And he is relentless in his pursuit of women. And he will bed them. He will lie, cheat, whatever. Now, I know that's not something we're trying to subscribe to.
Okay, first of all, you're an asshole. But secondly, I'll tell you this. My 16-year-old niece, I found out recently that she loves How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
And I said, what I'm about to say to you now, that the worst character is Ted Mosby. He's a bitch.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
I do not like him at all.
Yep.
In fact, all of the characters are crap compared to Barney. Barney is the reason this show is popular.
Yes.
No doubt, right? 100%. Everyone else is kind of crap, right?
No, he's the best. There's some other good characters, but he's the best.
Honestly,
is funny.
Who?
Robin Scherbatsky.
Yeah, funny. I would say the next best character is Robin because she's actually funny.
I think Marshall and Lily are funny. I like that. Again, arguably
better than Ted, for sure.
Well, everyone's better than Ted.
Exactly. Ted is a bitch. And I said, do you like the Barney character? She goes, yes, and I know you like him. And I'm like, why? She goes, because you're him. And I went, what do you mean? And no, it's very...
Like, now I need to rush to add to your defense.
Yes.
That is absolutely not true.
I am not like that.
Wayne has never pretended to own an apartment to lay a woman.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is the worst character. Yeah. And he does stuff that he doesn't need to. He'll tell a woman he loves her. She's like, oh my God, let me go get a shower. We can go out. Cool. And then she goes to the shower and he just leaves because he's not even in that apartment.
Exactly. And you wouldn't.
I would never do that. But I think she's talking about suits. I don't know. I hope she's talking. That's
suits,
why.
Suits, you know, your appreciation for women.
Well, we all appreciate women, Paul.
Well, not all of us.
I mean, you and me.
Yeah, sure.
So, yes. No, I agree. But this is the thing. If you think about it, the Neil Patrick Harris character, making a womanizer somehow feel endearing, if not be endearing, is, you know, it's hard to like the typical bachelor
I think
guy.
What they do really geniusly with him, and again, with full credit to Neil Patrick Harris, who was a gay man in real life, and completely, you would, I've heard at least 10 different people when I've been in the room when that's, you know, he's gay in real life. What?
Yeah.
Because he's so good in this
role.
Dude,
remember when that went, then that happened? So it was, he was in the club, whatever, he wasn't out in the open.
Yep.
Then someone outed him, and then it happened. And I remember thinking to myself, and I was back, yeah. I was like, oh my God, is this going to affect this show?
No, I just thought, holy shit, how the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, amazing.
He's so good.
Exactly. And then anyone who watched How I Met Your Mother, the whole, no one gave a shit. No, and God, I was so, my faith in humanity was reaffirmed.
We say no one, but of course there's
not enough people. Like most people just didn't give a fuck. Said good. And we still managed to like enjoy that way. It's like, yeah, because it's an acting job. So just understand it.
So again, I want to give full props. This is what elevated number three partially.
Oh yeah.
But the other is, like I was starting to say, yes, he is unscrupulous and lies and whatever else when it comes to, you know, having sex. But one, he's a great friend. And was frequently shown through the show to support his friends in ways that go above and beyond. Like, he's not just, he's egotistical or whatever, but not to the exclusion of everybody else. So, you need some money, I can help you out.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, which is really lovely.
Although, one time he did steal Marshall's girl, like, some woman gave him a number and he goes, oh, this woman's great. Sorry, Marshall, I'm ringing her. But that was the only one time.
Yeah. So, not perfect.
Yeah, totally.
And the other is that the show calls him out for how unsuccessful he is with his womanizing.
Yes.
There's a great episode where Marshall runs the math on how many times he's tried to hook up with a woman. Because the show makes it look like every time he goes home with someone.
Yeah.
And they actually work it out to be like, you're only successful like 5% of the time, man.
That's right. He plays the odds. He's the guy at the bar who asks out every woman, which we've all seen.
But which is great. Like, yeah, in the show, it shows him being successful.
Absolutely.
At least going the next yard with a woman. But in reality, they see him strike out 19 times before that.
That's so good. And you know what? I think as well, what's good about this character is his gamification of that entire thing. Like, he has like playbooks and stuff like that, right?
Yep.
And there's one where he dresses up as an old woman and he calls that the Mrs. Stinsfire. That's just funny. So there you go.
I do hold serious fears for the spin-off show, How I Met Your Father.
I'm just going to assume that's crap and not watch it. How's that?
I'll wait for the reviews.
All right.
All right, you're number three.
My number three was number three. So back to you for number two.
My number two is there's only one way to introduce them.
You've introduced two other shows like this.
Vindication!
This is what I thought you would do for the previous one. Go ahead, Paul.
Time for the next
level. No, motherfucker, don't do another sound. This is the worst sound. You're an asshole. How come you gotta be like this, you piece of shit? Fuck you. Jesus.
Hot damn.
Fuck off.
I bet you'd be waiting, motherfucker. I wish I had done this number one.
I feel wish like you could
just for the
fucking
impact
ass.
On the soundboard alone, it should have been one of them. Captain Roman Holt from Brooklyn and 99.
So you got two characters from one show
in
here.
It's the only time I've allowed that.
No, good. All right, please tell me about Captain Holt as if we all didn't know.
Well, I guess you got everything there. So he is the new captain of the 99 in the first episode or second episode of the show, episode of the show, comes in replacing the previous captain who had run a loose ship. And he comes in and he's immediately stoic. He's emotionless. He immediately identifies Peralta as a joker of the group and is going to bring him into line.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, whoa. And then one random character says, did you get a gay vibe off him? And everyone's like, what? No, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, yeah. I'm gay.
Yeah.
I've been married to my husband now for 10 years and blah, 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 blah. And I had to fight against discrimination and homophobia throughout my entire career in the NYPD. And I was like, well, and great. And that's
it's the best aspect of that character, if you ask me, because like that is to write it that way and then make him unfunny on purpose, but funny as a result is actually a bit of a feat.
So awesome.
And to pull it off as an actor. Probably
Andre
even harder.
Brower is just incredible in this role. And he's been nominated for several Emmys. I'm not sure if he's actually won. I didn't do my research on that part. But he is so, so good. He is the manager we should all subscribe to be. Like, he tries. Initially, it looks like he's just in to fucking sort things out.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, he cares about each and every one of his people in his team.
Oh, really?
He wants them to succeed.
See, I haven't watched enough of it to see all of that. All I see is the authoritarian.
No. So he starts out that way. He asserts himself. And then he starts to live a little and come in and bring a bit of himself into it. So good. And I love his mentor-mentee relationship with Jake. He is shaping Jake into being a great detective, not just a good one.
Hmm.
Love that element to it. Love the fact that he's constantly when he's emotional, it has such impact as a result.
Because it hardly ever happens.
Hence, you know, something like...
Oh, fuck off.
Vindication!
Yeah, see, I liked him until you did that too many times and now fuck you.
How about that?
Hot damn!
Bitch.
I love this character. He is what absolutely... The show's good anyway. Peralta could carry the show no problem at all and I would watch every episode. But it's Holt that has raised it. It's now in my top 10 sitcoms of all time. Easily.
Whoa!
Could even be in my top 5.
Holy shit!
Thanks largely to Captain Raymond Holt of the 99.
You're number 2. All right, nice one. Well, it was a nice one until you got over handsy with that soundboard. Okay, my number 2, everyone, is none other than Alex Keaton from Family Ties. Okay, sorry. So, Family Ties, initially conceived by the producers Gary Goldberg.
For a million years.
Sorry, we'll do that for another show. It was supposed to be a showcase for Meredith Baxter Burney, who at the time when I saw this in the 80s, I thought, wow, that's the most pretty woman I've ever seen.
Sure.
Okay, big surprise. And Michael Gross being the, you know, Stephen Keaton, whatever. They were supposed to be the showman. Yeah, exactly. in fact, the original open credits are about them, right? But then Alex Keaton comes in and everyone loves him. Now, let me tell you something. There is no Family Ties without Alex Keaton. I mean, sure, Stephen Gross, the parents are fine, all right? Mike and Gross, yeah, sorry. No one gives a shit about fucking, about Mallory or fucking Jen or even that little kid. No one gives a shit. Alex is the... Come on, man. No one gives a shit.
Jason Bateman gives a shit about his sister.
Jason Bateman. Yeah, sure. But I'm talking about the audience here. Now, Michael J. Fox comes along and makes that shit. And I think... Apparently, he's still a bit of a role model for old Republicans.
Really?
But remember, back then, it was okay to be a Republican. It was fine, man. It was Reaganomics and shit like that. No one really knew anything.
You're gonna lose about...
It's fine. But you know what? It's cool. You know, whatever you are now. But because of Trump, it's now extreme. Whereas back then, it was just another political party. In fact, did you know that the Democrats are actually the, like, back in the Lincoln era, were the ones who were more conservative? Uh-huh. Everything changes, everyone. But apart from this show, like, this show here is actually, I think it's... Because remember, he was shooting Back to the Future while he was still shooting this thing.
Yeah.
Back, he did like slept 3 hours a day while he still nailed all this stuff. So the guy is off the chain. And like just his views. Like one time there's this episode where, which one, an Emmy or some shit.
Oh,
and
his friend died.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. And when the psychiatrist off screen asks him, you know, do you believe in God? And he's like, the analytical side of me says no. But on a straight cost efficiency basis, you can't prove it. There's no annual report. There's no pictures of board directors. I mean, recent ones. Shit like that. That's why his gags are like that. And for some reason, they really resonated with me when I was a kid. And it's probably why I wear suits now, let's face it. So there you go. Alex Heaton, my number 2.
All right. No, I should have seen that choice coming. Yeah, that is very, very you. Okay, so our 10, well, my 10 through 2, and then revealing my number 1. My number 10, Dr. Niles Crane in Frasier. 9, George Constanza in Seinfeld. 8, Ari Gold in Entourage. 7, fucking Roy Kent.
Fucking Roy Kent.
In Ted Lasso. Number 6, Jake Peralta in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. 5, Arnold Rimmer in Red Dwarf. 4, Douglas Reynolds' father in The IT Crowd.
Worth it.
Number 3, Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother. Number 2, Captain Raymond Holt, also for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And my number 1, without a question, immediately came to mind. Of course it was.
I have no idea who this is.
Dr. Perry Cox in Scrubs, as played by John C.
That's why he didn't put Turk in.
Ginley, yeah.
Interesting, interesting. Do tell me about Perry Cox.
Well, this is the most critical character, as far as I'm concerned, in comedy TV.
Whoa!
Critical, as in he's critical of everybody around him.
Oh, critical. I see. Sorry.
Yeah, yes. He's never, ever saying anything good or positive about anybody.
That's the problem I have with him.
But yet, somehow, he inspires the best out of the people that he cares about. Yes, he scares off the people that, they weren't good enough. They weren't tough enough.
Mm.
But in JD, he continues to push him because he knows he can be a good doctor as long as he pushes him hard now at the early point of his career.
As a man who's seen all the important episodes of Scrubs, I can tell you...
all of them.
Yeah, well, not... The season 8, you say the season 8 sucks, right? Or whatever the...
9. No.
9.
Med school.
Yeah,
I've seen all those too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I've not.
Don't bother.
Yeah, I wouldn't. There is a couple of episodes where he's oddly compassionate. Do you ever notice this? Like, he's always shit on this.
He's not deaf, man.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, shit, JD's in trouble. So he actually goes behind the scenes and actually tries to make him feel better and shit, which is a good twist on the character for those episodes. It may be slightly out of step, but I had no problem with it.
That's the point. He's smart enough and intelligent enough to know when he needs to stop with the criticism and he needs to actually just throw a bone just a little bit. And so there's lots of episodes of JD going, oh, I think maybe he likes me.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is, what is it, Jane?
Yeah, you call him. That's the funniest thing. He calls him a girl name each different time, and that is truly funny.
And initially, JD's like, but you know my name. like a complete arsehole. And he is, but he's an arsehole with a heart. And so he constantly rubs up against Bob Kelso, who's the head of Sacred Heart Hospital. And he's arguing for treatment for people who don't have the right insurance or whatever else it is. All he wants is to help people. All he wants is to fulfill his Hippocratic
Oath. Keep the game going.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. And we get such a journey for him. So Bill Lawrence's wife in real life is Krista Miller.
Krista Miller's her name.
Right. So Jordan in the show is his ex-wife, and they have an on-again, off-again relationship through the course of the show. She slips JD at one point,
That's
which you
right.
would think would really make things awkward. But then, of course, it's his rants. It's his rants that put him at number one, Wayne. Is there any better actor than John C. McGinley at ranting on camera?
Agree. And did you not tell me that he's abnormally, the actor is good at doing that, as in he hardly ever flubs?
Yeah.
Which is hard to do. Apparently, because he's doing a million names.
Yeah, he's just bang, bang. He nails everything. He's militant in his art.
Yes.
And everybody was kind of scared of him, but also respectful of him. But then they realized, much like Cox, which is why he's so good, he's got this real heart underneath. And like when he comes on the Scrubs podcast, you can hear the affection he has for the boys. And
JD is that so?
And they have for him.
Because I heard a director's commentary thing where he was talking about it, and you could tell what a prick he sort of was. He's like, when I got to this show, none of them had done anything, and of course he'd done The Rock. So
and Point Break.
Of course, Point Break. Yeah. So you know, he's like, and it was like he's sort of like oddly dismissive. But then I heard another episode where he was talking about how much he dug Heather Locklear, and
he's not
but alone. You can tell he was nice that time. You know what I mean? Like, I reckon he'd be that guy.
Really
like, yeah.
comes across in their podcast. And, you know, of course, there are very, very many things that he could care less about than whatever we're talking about now.
Absolutely.
And, of course,
Hugh Jackman. Yep. Yeah, that is a funny aspect of those things. No doubt.
That's my one. All right, Wayne, give us your 10. All right,
good one. My number 10 is Niles from Frasier. Number 9, Schmidt from New Girl. 8, Moss from the IT Crowd. 7, Carlton from Fresh Prince. 6, Selena Meyer from Veep. 5, Turk from Scrubs. 4, Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. 3, Barney Stinson from How Am I Gonna. And number 2, Alex Keaton from Family Ties. And my number 1 is Ross from Friends.
Oh, God.
That's right, people. Ross from Friends. I know you... That's right. I still maintain this guy has the most nuance to his acting prowess and approach of making Ross funny than anyone on TV, comedic TV anyway.
Wow.
That's right, man. Bullshit. I adore Ross. Let's face it, right? Whenever I draw, I watch Friends. I've seen every episode multiple times. I know every ins and outs. I know that Chandler's mother wrote a book called Mistress Bitch. Most people don't know that. All right? So I've seen every version of Ross.
Is better for it.
It's very useful, I can tell you. But yes, he's the president of the divorce club. So he's actually probably, I think, the most relatable character. Because not that I've been divorced ever, but his...
That would involve having to...
Marry someone. Yes, exactly. So, but his like poor luck in the romance field, yes. The fact that he's a complete nerd, especially with that music and synthesizer shit. That's so funny. And even his dumb stuff. Like, my favorite episode is probably, of his, is when he pretends to have a British accent for his students.
You say it's like I should remember this.
Dude, you should remember. Friends you should totally once. Check it out, once. Man. Like, hello, Rachel. It's just funny shit, man. Yeah, I obviously think that it's erroneous for me to think that everyone knows Friends as well as me. But I do imagine, I do say, Ross actually will make a scene funny by just exhaling, doing something weird, looking awkward. And then, yes, the laugh track comes in, but it's a Straw Live Studio audience poll. So it probably worked.
Okay.
So, yes, I love me some Ross.
Now, am I correct in saying you left some off your list because you put 11 people on there?
Yeah.
Do you want a chance to redo all that again?
Take it back!
And not have Ross at your number one?
No. Because Ross was always my number one. You know how when you do these lists, Paul, you always know your number one? Or you very often know your number one? And you work backwards?
Yep.
Ross was always there for me. Fair enough. Yeah, there you go.
All right, that's our list. Very quickly, because we are running really long on this
episode. We're talking a lot, aren't we?
Which is, I guess, a good sign. Yeah, good topic. That's we can go that way. Honorable mentions, Wayne.
Blackadder.
Yep, on mine as well.
Prince from Chappelle's Show. I didn't leave him there because he's only a character Prince. That was in a skit. The Chappelle played Prince in it. It was really good.
Go with, you know, Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy's a real guy. But okay. Frank Drebin from Police Squad.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
Karen from Will and Grace. And Sterling Archer from Archer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fine. Apart from the Blackadder you mentioned, I had Crichton, also from Red Dwarf. Fraser. That's who I left off.
That's fine. I think Lewis worked better.
Chandler from Friends is my favorite.
Of course, man. Of course, Chandler.
Jim Halpert from The Office. Because initially I went this as, who are my favorites? Like, who are the people I like the most? Who are most, like, Jim is the most like me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're something of a Jim yourself.
Yeah, in terms of the way I approach
being white and tall, yes.
White and tall. And also, up until I got this job as a manager, I was the funny guy in the office.
You know? You can't afford to be the funny guy anymore, can you?
No.
See, that's why I've never been like a people pleaser.
And every so often I'll crack a joke, which, you know, is the old me creeping in. And
they should appreciate that, I'd say.
The team just don't know what to do with it. They're just like,
I get crickets in my work too!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not because it's not funny. It's the same vein of humor.
Damn right it's not because it's not funny.
The young guy, the whippersnapper saying
you're supposed
anymore?
To be like, you know, collegiate and fucking that kind of shit. And I know there's no room for that when professionalism. And frankly, I hate it.
Ironically, in the manager's meeting, where people at my level or higher, they're all laughing again because I'm still the young guy.
Because there's no fucking... Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh,
so
this guy.
I just realized comedy trickles down.
I think you find it trickles up in the example, right?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. You absolutely right. You can't. Yeah, comedy doesn't trickle down. Mm. You can only make funny jokes.
You know what? Yeah. But here's the funny thing. How many times do you do a work laugh at your boss's joke that's not funny? Why aren't they doing that to you, Paul? They're too nervous.
Good point.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha, sir. You know what I'm saying?
Although I'd rather there be no laugh than ha ha ha.
Me too. I hate a fake laugh. Yeah. I'd rather you just admonish me, which is why I'm fine with my current work, folks. But.
The other funny person in the office is Stanley. I think Stanley is fucking hilarious. Really makes me laugh.
Stanley. Which one's Stanley?
The large African-American dude.
Oh, yeah, he's
who just will call Michael out on his shit time and again. I got time for this shit, you know.
Steve Carell has really made that his thing, though.
Also.
Steve on your list? Yeah, no, he's great. He's great.
Great. And that's it for my honorable mentions.
Nice one, brother.
I have to say. All right, what about your list? We wrap up every episode with on the topic at hand with your choices in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Chris Sutherland, who said, Ted Lasso may be new, but this guy makes me laugh every scene. Roy Kent.
Fair to say.
Then I'd have to be George, you know which one, i.e. Costanza, and Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation, which is a show I've never watched.
I have.
But heaps of people mentioned him.
Yeah. He's the American version of not giving a shit like Roy, that guy.
Roy Kent.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit, because you don't give a fuck about anything.
I've heard the first season of Parks and Recreation is really shit. Just start season two and go from there, and it gets really good.
Yeah, I've watched and enjoyed random episodes, so I'm on board.
So I think once we're done with The Office, and I've got like 10 episodes to go in the whole 9 seasons.
God, I got 1,000 different shows to hit before Park and Rec. But yeah,
then cool. I might give that one a go as a kind of follow on from that. Jonathan Lamb said Jake Peralta, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. His jokes don't always land, but the sheer volume more than makes up for it.
The Backstreet Boys cold open is still my fave.
There's a great cold open where they're sliding across.
Oh, really?
The bullpen floor.
I might look that up.
And again, it's Holt that makes the reaction. Kramer from Seinfeld, one of a kind TV character, and Tobias Funk from Arrested Development. I just can't help but laugh every scene he's in.
Fair enough.
Antoine said Selena Meyer from Veep.
Yeah.
Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec, and Michael Scott / David Brent from The Office. I'm putting them together because they are the same character. Michelle Connerboy said Baldrick. Another great choice.
Oh, fuck, that was a good call. He's actually probably better than Blackadder.
Yeah, him and Blackadder. It's their back and forth, right?
You know what happened with Blackadder? If you watch it now, right? Because we loved it back then, right?
Yeah.
If you watch it right now, every single line Blackadder says is some like...
Set up.
If you don't, set up. If you don't do this, I'll do the this, which is the most this since that. That's what his whole thing... And every line is like that, and it wears on you if you keep watching it. Right. But it was good back then.
Back then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Captain Holt was Michelle's next choice.
There you go.
Kristen Akara said Dr. Cox from Scrubs. Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek.
I've been wanting to watch that. It's one of the things on my list. I've seen a few episodes and they seem great, but everyone raves about this show.
I do. And Brett and Jermaine, they come as a set, he said, for Flight of the Conchords.
You love them, guys.
I do. Probably would have been on my list had we been allowing that.
Yep.
Daniel Lau said Hitchcock from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. His one liners cracked me up. One of the old dudes who's in the background.
Yeah. Okay.
Creed, also old dude in the background from The Office, US. Who is very funny, the original Hitchcock in Daniel's Eyes, and Smithy in Gavin and Stacey, when James Corden wasn't frolicking around dressed as a bunny.
I don't know that show. There you are.
Gavin and Stacey?
Nope. I mean, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it either. Chad Fackler said Dr. Cox from Scrubs. Who else throws a better insult? No one, Chad.
True.
Louise Belcher from Bob's Burgers. I know it's animated, but come on. And number one, Cosmo Kramer. I'm out!
That was funny.
Into the contest.
That was funny.
Matt Evans, Jay Cartwright from The Inbetweeners.
Friends. Look, that if he wasn't such a piece of shit, I agree with that one. It could have been an honorable mention, to be honest with you.
Dwight Schrute from The Office. I thought this one did get a few likes.
I hate Dwight. I hate him.
He grates on me so hard.
Gareth from the original Office is better.
If I like Jim, then I'm not really going to like Dwight.
No, right? Dwight is a piece of shit.
And number one, and this probably speaks to Matt's character, from Primary School Only Matt, sorry. Kenny Powers, Eastbound and Down.
Now, there's a guy I can't stand, but I have watched that show, so yeah.
Ashley Gorski from the Rabbit Ears TV podcast. We thought we definitely need to give
definitely
her. Number three, Jack Donaghy, 30 Rock.
Yes!
Number two, Finn and Jake, also come as a set from Adventure Time. Never watched that show.
Don't watch it much, no.
And number one, Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development.
There you go, classic. There.
Sam Hurley from Movie Reviews 20Qs and a patron of the show said, would not want to have a beer with any of them, but Ricky from Trailer Park Boys. I haven't watched that one.
Not familiar.
Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Again, really, really good. Wouldn't have a beer with him either. Agree.
Dwight from The Office.
Once again.
Dan truly said, Bart Kerlish from Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Not seen it.
I've watched the first season. I can't remember if he was in that one or not. Ensign Brackett Mariner from Star Wars : Lower Decks, the animated show on Amazon Prime.
Wow, I've not seen that either. I didn't even know it was there.
And Alexis Rose, number one from Schitt's Creek. Which one's Alexis Rose?
You got me.
Okay. Sorry, Dan. 50 Uses for the Word Love podcast on Twitter said Niles Crane and Niles Crane and Niles Crane.
Yeah, man.
Captain Raymond Holt and Crichton. And last two, Tim Cormack said Father Dougal McGuire in Father Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Quagmire from Family Guy.
Yeah.
And it's Arnold Rimmer.
Okay, that just made it worse. Made it worse. Horrible.
So
horrible.
Much slimmer.
What?
And lastly, Jason from the Binge Movies podcast will be coming on in November onto the show, so we'll have the longer than this episode, amazing as it may be. He said, George Constanza from Seinfeld, Darius from Atlanta, and the Dean from Community.
Hmm.
There we are.
There you go. Is the Dean Ken Jeong?
No, the Dean is Jim, someone who wrote The Way Back.
Okay, cool.
And I think he was involved in The Descendants.
That oh, I know. Yes. Cool.
There we are. That's your list. Thank you so much, everyone, who got back to us. We didn't have a chance to get through today. We really, truly do appreciate it. That's it for episode 339.
Nine.
Of Countdown Movie and TV News Podcast. Wayne, how do the folk get in touch with us with their feedback on the topic at hand, or indeed, more generally?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find our socials, or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host. Check out the Facebook list community for some great discussion, and ccradio.com.au for the other great shows that are part of the network, Believe and Comic Confidential. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for 340th Countdown?
It's a damn top 10 last 10, son!
I mean, 3 months is the last top 10 last 10. That means Wayne has 1 week to watch 10 films.
If only that wasn't the case. I'm on leave for a week. I'm confident. Chilling.
He'll be
chilling.
You know what? Maybe I'll make a thread in the Facebook list community and just say any recommendations.
Yeah, what does Wayne have to watch? Yeah, good.
What should Wayne watch this week? That's good, because the last couple of top 10 last 10s, you've been plagued by shit films.
I'm just picking bags of ass, and then ass falls on me, and then this ass spills on me, and then I got to talk about the ass.
You can imagine suffocating in ass. That would be awful.
I know, again.
All right, that's it from us today. Thank you so much for joining us for this latest episode. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard, with a shout out to all the characters we mentioned today. We will catch you next week.
See ya.
Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my Superman. I'm no Superman.
Who wants a recap?
That's what I did.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know, man. I didn't know what I was going to say, and then some shit came out. What I wanted to say was, let's recount the week.
Let's do that again.
Okay. Sorry, Con.
Who wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap?
Who
wants a recap?
Could you just Let's use yours this time?
What the fuck? What the fuck? That's what's known as a miscue, or me not knowing what's going on.
No, that's how I was deliberately fucking with you. I would also find that funny, but it's going on the bloopers anyway.
It's so excellent.
All right, seriously, this time.
Okay, all right.
Here we go.